I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
Time for a big announcement, and it's going to go out to a very specific person, and that is the country of Australia. You know what? To be magnanimous, I'm going to go ahead and throw in New Zealand. And I know you're not the same countries, okay? Just calm down, calm down. But you're basically the same country. Australia and New Zealand, I love you guys. I have tried for years to urge you in a non-subtle way to get me down there to visit slash live. Neither happened. So guess what? That's it. I'm cutting you off. I secretly love you, but I'm going to pretend that I don't. Okay, I'm going to pretend that I don't need you, and I'm just going to put you on hold. Why? Norway. Norway is now taking the pole position, and I'm putting my efforts into Norway and putting my love into Norway. Okay, all right. Australia, New Zealand, you guys do what you do. Okay, but I don't need you anymore. Norway has been on my radar. For some reason, that's the place. I would move there. The whole family, we've talked about it, not in a serious way, but sort of like a, would it be fun to move to Norway? And yet, if an opportunity came up tomorrow, I would be on an airplane that fast. Maybe not that fast. I got a horse. I'm not going to ride my horse to Norway. But totally of coincidence, a guy reached out to me named Marius Haug. I think his last. I don't speak the Norwegian yet. Did you guys hear that? He has a podcast called the Capterra Podcast. He just started it. But he was traveling. He'd emailed me, and he was a fan of my last podcast and has been listening to this one. He emailed me and said, I'd love to interview you. I said, fine. And he's in the area. He was traveling, you know, doing a little United States tour with his soon-to-be wife and kids. And he came up to the area. So I invited him into my studio, and we had a nice conversation. That finally posted the Captar Podcast. It's new. And I really like him. He's a good guy. And so I'll put a link to that. I think it's a good conversation. We had a really good conversation just about a bunch of different stuff. And so if you guys want to check that out, do and give him a little bit of love, because I'm all for podcasters, as I talked about in that interview. The last subversive medium, not regulated yet. There's that word yet again. Yeah, I'm a little cynical on that. Let's hope that podcasts don't get regulated. Woo! Then I'm going to start a new platform called a Sidcast or something. I don't know. That's kind of exclusive, but something like that, right? A Norway cast. How about that? That would work. Anyway, so that's going on there. And so Captar, I'll give you a link on that. But yeah, I'm not kidding about Norway. The more you read, the more you know. Thanks to my Patreon supporters. You know, my goal was 500 supporters, and I've got 25. So I think I'm there. I don't do math. But the 25 that are there, I love you, because you're the elite group. What can I tell you? But thank you for real, because it's actual stuff. I've bought tripods with it, or one tripod, either way. And if anybody's left reviews, great. I don't check them, but if anybody's left them, thank you for putting the word out there, especially if they're negative, because you know the world needs more negativity. So if you're pissed at me, just put it out in public. Let's do that. Spread the word as much as you can. Speaking of negativity, here's something that happened. And you know my rule with this podcast, if you have listened since the first episode where I said Dems the rules. The rule with this podcast is that I was going to only do episodes when I felt moved to do episodes. And so sometimes it's, you know, I've done two in 1 week, and sometimes I do them, whatever. But that's, I think I talked about that last week. I don't know. Haven't listened to last week's. Another rule. So this could be literally verbatim repeat of last week, which would be hilarious and also quite talented. I don't want to toot my own horn, but if I'm able to recreate last week's without knowing it word for word, I'm some sort of crazy genius, right? And I bet I said that last week too. So this happened to my twin boy a few weeks ago. And I thought I would share it with you. It was a very interesting thing. He was at a group. I'm not going to get too specific here, because this is actually, it actually happened, and it's in my little town. I don't think anybody here listens to my podcast, which is, thank goodness for that. But he was at this little gathering with kids his age, but then there was like an older sibling at the house that had friends over. And one of the friends who we know, but a teen, the younger kids, my twins are nine, both of them were there, but the twins were nine and the other kids were nine, and they were annoying the older kids. It happens. But one of the older kids said to my son, and I'm going to swear here because I got it. Got to fully let this out because this is exactly what a teen said to a nine-year-old. Quote, get your fucking vegan ass out of here. End quote. I really needed to put the end quote in there because otherwise it would really be a long, long quote. Get your fucking vegan ass out of there. Now, out of here. In case you're wondering, it was dealt with swiftly and firmly. Apologies were made. However, it's a very interesting time. I can sort of see, hey guys, get out of here. You're annoying us. I can see that. My son's great too, because he came home and told me, thank goodness, because I was like, good, you got to tell, that's great for, you got to tell me. And he knows that. It's like, you got to tell me. But I love him because he was like, we were annoying them. Like we were totally annoying them. What he said was, we were annoying them, but it still wasn't right for him to say that. And I was like, yes, that's exactly right. But the more I got to thinking of it, throwing the vegan thing in there it's essentially a slur. And I'm not, again, I'm, you know how I stand on the whole too soft world. We dealt with it swiftly. It's over. It's done. But my concern is that, again, that grouping thing. It's like everyone is searching for a definitive. Everyone is searching for the thing that I can label you with. And obviously, in this context, vegan was pejorative. It was like you're a Jew. Like, I mean, that's honestly, like, it was like, I told the dad, who completely, actually, he brought it up because he was talking to my wife, and he goes, it's kind of like saying like a racial or like a slur, like a religious, like you're saying it in that same context. And I thought, how interesting in this day and age with all this talk of whites and blacks and browns and trans and gay and Jews and whatever, however we do it. The move of the culture, it seems to me, this is anecdotal, I'm saying it seems to me, is that we're now first defining ourselves by labels. I've never said no labels at all. That certainly is kind of an ideal, but I know that's not going to happen because I identify as part of my family and so on and so forth. And I'm American. If somebody said, where are you from? I'd say, I'm from the United States. I'm from Los Angeles or what? I mean, there's obviously it's what, on the hierarchy of how you define yourself, where does that label sit? It seems that it's moving up. It's been moving up in the hierarchy. It's getting close to the top where you're like, first and foremost, I'm vegan. Somebody would say, not me. I would not say that. In a way, for me, the label should be last. The label should be down at the very end. The ideas that the label represents would be higher up in that level. Do you hear the difference of what I'm talking about here? The name, the label, the thing that some jagoff can grab and use is the label. That should be way down, but the ideas should be up if what you are is defined by your ideas and your standards and your values, like I've talked about a thousand times. But I think it's scary for people to define ourselves without a label. I think it's a little scary for somebody to make a conscious effort not to define somebody else by a label. I think labels are cute and convenient, and they make the news, and they're easy. As I've said, it's chicken shit logic. It's chicken shit thinking. It's somebody being lazy with the way that they define people. And I think it's scary to define yourself without a label. And I think you should try it. And I think I think about this stuff a lot because of what I do. But if you do that, if you try to define yourself without a label, then you're going to have to define the values that define you, whether you live by them or not. You're going to have to ask that question if you actually stop being so lazy and define yourself, and you're going to have to decide whether or not then, based on the values, you'll choose to stand up for them or not. That's also a kind of a scary and self-evaluative place to come from of, well, these are how I would define myself. I define myself by I say I'm a compassionate person, let's say, then you have to go like, okay, but am I acting that way in the world? Okay, well, that's kind of scary too, because you can have this situation where you go, well, no, and that, whoops, you know, kind of thing. And then the red pill of The Matrix, which I just rewatched, it still holds up. It really does. In spite of Keanu Reeves, it holds up. I love actors and presidents who have the bar so low that any delivery of a single line that isn't horrible, you go like, you know, not bad. Not bad. Not bad, Michael Bolton. So, single malt scotch. That was a single malt scotch cough. A single malt scotch cough, by the way, is the German version of scotch. I'm in a tough spot. I wrote a whole book on it, on healthy families, just for this reason. I'm in a tough spot because it is, I say this all the time when I speak in front of, you know, around the country, in front of groups, et cetera, about healthy families. It would be in many ways easier on me and my family to no longer be vegan. It really would. It would certainly have saved my son from a slur of get your fucking vegan ass out of here. He's nine. I don't appreciate the F word either, but sort of the singling out, because he's the only vegan kid besides my daughter, in that whole group or whole school, by the way. So there's how that goes. It would be easier for me to just sort of not have put them in that situation. That's hard as a father when your job is, as a parent, and I'm obviously a father, but for Lisa, a mother, as a parent to want to make things as easy as possible on your kids to not put them into painful situations. I couldn't have seen that coming in a million years, by the way. It's not like I was like, that kid's probably going to say some sort of slur that is almost racial if it were racial. But then I think, we're not vegan. We really aren't. My family is not vegan. We think eating animals is not good. We think treating animals badly isn't good. We think treating our bodies badly isn't a good thing. We think ruining the environment isn't a good thing. We're not perfect, but we work to stand for those ideas the best we can. We, as parents, Lisa and I, work to instill these values, not labels. We don't walk around going, you guys are vegan. You guys, we talk about the things in a positive way because I don't want my kids to see the horrible stuff that I've seen. But I say on occasion when it comes up, we like animals and we're nice to, and we don't want to screw up the environment. We want the air to be clean and, you know, so on and so forth. And so we act in a way that delivers us those things that we think are cool. We're not perfect, but we are working to that, and we are working to the ideas and the defined, clearly defined values that we are teaching our children, right and wrong. I know that's controversial when people go, you're brainwashing your child. You're damn straight I'm brainwashing my child, like every parent does. I've never met a parent who is either living an example of what's right and wrong, and they may be doing that really well or really badly, or teaching their kids about right and wrong, again, doing it well or doing it badly. That's what you do as a parent, in theory. But we're working toward these ideas. We're working toward the right and wrong of this. And I think, again, the labels get in the way. Standing up, and this is probably the lesson that I would want to give my children above all else, standing for what is right always comes with a cost. It's easier in some respects to not be vegan. In most respects, it would be easier for me not to be vegan. And standing, but it's a right and wrong issue for me and for Lisa, and by extension, my family. Standing up for what is right always comes with a cost, and it is worth every penny.
All the time. In this life. All the reasons to stop trying. radiant, and your attention veers away.
Darkness unfolds.